And spiritually, we also understand that through that death, we have been liberated spiritually. Amen. Can I hear a big amen?
Amen.
You know, that death on the cross has given us freedom. That death on the cross has given us liberation. That death on the cross has given us self-esteem. It has given us boldness. It's given us eternal life. But, you know, best of all, it's given us eternal life. We have assurance that when we die today, we will make heaven. Amen. Why? Because of this death. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Because of this death today, we have a church. We can call ourselves brothers and sisters. Especially a family church like this where we come from over 14 nationalities. A family like this where we all come from different background, different different experiences. And then we come into a little box like this. Okay, I beat a little box. But we come into we come together as a church like this, and then we can look beyond our differences and sincerely say, you know, that's my brother. You know, that's my sister. And say, you know what? Yes, it doesn't matter what kind of family background I have. I'm now plugged into a spiritual background. It doesn't matter. So in other words, his death on the cross gives us an opportunity to paint a new life. His death on the cross gives us a new canvas, so to speak. Praise the Lord. You know, if not for his death on the cross, where would I have met so many brothers and sisters, you know, friends in Christ, you know? And the moment somebody says, I'm a Christian, you know, there's just that tie. And that tie tonight is this death. It all starts from this death on the cross. And it's important that we all understand the reason why Christ died. All right, he died for you and I so we can have eternal life. And that death automatically makes you and I one on the cross, of the cross, about the cross. One family, one purpose, one unity. It's very, very important. It's very, very important. Here in this one family, you know, nations sit next to each other without fighting. Multilingual, multi-language, multi-culture. But you see, the cross brings so much unity in diversity that I may not understand your culture, but I understand the cross. You say, you may not understand, so you don't need to understand my language. The cross gives us a new language. The cross gives us a new identity. It gives us unity. But we are not there yet. We are very far. You know, we are very far from the, in terms of experience, we are still very far from the unity that Christ really wants for us. We are still very far, but day by day, we work hard at it. Amen? Amen? We keep praying that God will give us a heart that forgives, a heart that accepts, a large heart to accommodate people's errors. We keep praying about that. We keep working towards that. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. So once again, I want to welcome you to this. So this month is a special month for us. This month speaks a lot of. So I want you to go get the bullet. When the bulletin is released on Sunday, make sure you get it. Make sure you read every single thing on that bulletin. Don't leave anything out. All right. Put one in your Bible. Go through the prophetic word for the month. All right. Go through it. Pray about it. Believe it. Internalize it. And then go for it. And God will make his covering work for you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are you not happy tonight?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. But turn with me very quickly to our scriptures tonight. I'm going to look at two pieces of scriptures tonight and share something with you. You know, it's the thing about being a Christian, which the blood of Jesus does for us, is that it calls us to the way of the cross. The way of the cross is a deep way. It's wide. The way of the cross is designed to change us, to give us a new meaning in life. So, and that reference comes from the Bible. You and I can never get tired of reading the Bible. We read it, we believe it, we teach others, we have children, we teach our children, we live it, and then we teach others. We live it, and then we teach others. Amen? Praise the Lord. All right, so pay attention tonight. Don't let the devil steal your word. Amen? Hallelujah. What did I say? The word is the devil's best meal. So when the word of God is being preached, he waits to steal it according to the Bible. So pay attention. All right. So let's look at, first let's look at Matthew. Matthew. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 16. I want to share what I've titled The Other Side of the Cross. The Other Side of the Cross. Matthew chapter 16, I want us to look at verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone will come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone will come after me, he must deny himself." Come on, say, "I must deny myself." Come on, say, "I must take up my cross. And I must follow him." You must deny yourself. You must take up your cross. And you must follow him. You must deny yourself. You must take up your cross. And you must follow him. Church, I always say that Christianity is not as easy as people make it sound. I always say that sometimes, I said I'm preaching about the other side of the cross. Sometimes the side of the cross we want to see is the side of the cross that meets our needs. You know? At best, what it produces are very weak Christians. For example, we want to believe that because of the cross, I will never have a challenge. That is not true. We want to believe that we've been made to believe that, oh, you know, Christianity is about prosperity and money and big houses and big cars and claim it and have it and need it and have it and claim it. You know, but that's not true. That is not true. I don't know if that's the gospel of Hollywood, you know. Today, we'll listen to the news this morning. There's in Trafalgar Square, they did the play of Jesus. And there's a gentleman who has been playing the role of Jesus for 18 years. And in fact, he really looks like the Jesus of the photographs we see. You know, the handsome blue eyes, six-pack, long beards. You know, he actually rode on a donkey. And I don't know how they did that. They actually hung him on the cross, you know. But he said something that caught my attention tonight. He said, every year I look very much like him. He said, but I wish I can behave like him. He said, every year, say I look like him, you know. He said, but I wish I can behave like him. In other words, what I act and what I am are two different things. You see, many of us are acting Christianity. We are acting secret Christianity. Many of us put up a road show that people around you come to watch. But that's not Christianity. That's not Christianity. He said something. He said, if you want to, what is it again? I say, and Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone will come after me, he must what? Not me. He says you must first. You have to deny yourself. In other words, he gives us a hint that the what he's called us into requires a huge sacrifice. It means, secondly, he says that it's not about you. You know this, me and myself, larger than life that we see around Christians? That's not of Jesus, that's not of Christ. He said you must take up your cross. Not the little thing we hang on our neck. The huge sacrifice, the huge demand. So what exactly is he talking about? I'll come to this later, but I want us to look at the nature of his death. All right? So turn with me to Matthew chapter 27. Help me tell your neighbor, say brother, sister, please pray with me the grace to be a proper Christian. Amen. Help me with the water, son. Thank you. I want to look at the nature of death here, all right? Because it's Good Friday, and you know, I wanted the choir to do a hymn for me tonight. I don't know if they prepared for it, you know. I want to look at it from two angles. He died as a man, okay? Please, hear my heart, Christians, okay? Christianity is not funfair, right? Christianity is tough. It requires a huge sacrifice. You must understand this. Christianity requires huge personal sacrifices. And I will talk about that tonight. Christianity is not what you say you are. It's who you are. And we strive on a daily basis to pick up our cross and deny ourselves and follow him in our actions, in our attitude. It is very important. Christianity is not sweet. Please. Christianity is not sweet. It's not dessert. If you ask me, it's not very pleasant. This is the only faith where Jesus died and resurrected. It's not the cross of, make believe. There's nothing about me. There's no make believe. So let's look at it. Let's look at the crucifixion. Crucifixion here. Matthew 27. Let's look at verse 32. From verse 32. If you can help me with the screen, my print is a little bit small. Okay, say, as they went out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. The place of the skull, I used to think the place of the skull was actually a human skull. The place of the skull is actually a rock. It's actually a mount in Israel. And on the mount, they call it the place of the skull because on the mount, there are three holes on the wall that looks like the eyes of the man and the nose of the man. That's why I call it the place of the skull. So it's a place in Israel. So it's actually a physical place. The place in Israel, there was a hill. On that hill, looking at the hill, there are two holes on the. There are three holes on the wall, you know, like this, like a triangle. So if you stand back and look at the wall, the hill, it looks like the head of a man. So they nicknamed that hill the place of the skull. That is, this skull is a hill with a white stone, you know. So that's where it's coming from. I never knew until I went to Israel. That never makes sense to me. All right. So again, there are certain things that will never make sense. And that's why I always encourage us, one day maybe you should take a trip to Israel and just look around, because sometimes it brings a lot of perspective to what we believe. There's so much your imagination can carry. There's so much. The place of the skull. How do you imagine that? Yeah, you can't imagine that. All right. So I never knew that David was buried where Jesus. David was buried where Jesus had the Last Supper. I never knew why he chose that building. You know where he had the Last Supper? I didn't know why he chose that building. It was when I got to Israel, I realized that he chose that building because that was where David was buried. Yes, I never knew. See? So there's so much imagination can do. But let's keep imagining, all right? It's good. There they offered Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall. But after tasting it, he refused to drink it. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes and casting lots. And sitting down, they kept watch over him. You know, that is the job of a very sadist. You know, they sit down to watch his painful death. So in other words, there's nothing as painful as dying slowly. So I want you to understand that the method with which Jesus died should give us an indication of the nature of faith that he has given to us. I'll say that again. The nature of his death should give you an indication of the nature of practice. Because sometimes every time we think about Christianity, we think about luxury. There's nothing luxurious about our faith. All right? If it's not costing you, maybe you are not in it. Or let me say that again very slowly. If it is not costing you, maybe you are not really in it. If it's not costing you, you know, he said that if somebody slaps you once, I say, turn the other cheek. That's the price. So if it's not costing you, maybe you're not really in it. Right? There are so many actors. There are so many actors. Jesus, the Bible, Paul says, some said, it's all about people. He said, having a form of godliness, but what? Lacking the power. You know, there's nothing. This is Good Friday. This is raw Christianity. Okay? You need to carry the cross to put aside your humanity and pick up the spiritual life. And that's not funny. That's not funny. Are we going to live like Christ, or are we going to act like Christ? It's interesting that that man said that on national TV, and the place was full of 20,000 people who came to watch a man act like Christ. Today, the world, look at the church. What do they see? They see people acting like Christ. But we are not called to act like Christ. We are called to be Christ. Be Christ. You cannot be Christ if you are not willing to, you know, pick up your cross and follow. But followership is one difficult thing that our generation may never understand. Everybody wants to be a leader. So, it says above his head were placed written charge against him. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Next verse. Two robbers were crucified with him, one on his right hand and one on his left. All right, quickly. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking his head or shaking their heads. Has anybody ever insulted you about Jesus? Has it? Many of us, we can't, the kind of insult he took here, right? This is the cross we are celebrating, by the way. This is the cross. Every time we say, I believe in Jesus, I give my life to Christ, he's my Lord, this is what we sign up for. Are you listening, folks? Right? My charge is, if we're going to do it, let's do it well. Let's do it well. Now, I'm saying, you who are going to destroy the temple and build in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God. So they teased him. They mocked him. This was God in human form. But it's interesting that God chose to reconcile man back to him, and he gave us an example of how to live to please him. Amen. In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders did what? They celebrated him. They mocked him. Can you stand to be mocked? Someone can't even tease you. Someone can't even tease you without putting up a fight. Isn't it? If someone can't even say anything negative about you and not putting up a fight. Someone can't even, so they teased him. They mocked him. They took the words that he said. They recorded what he says, turned it upside down, used it against him. All right? And that's why Jesus said, listen. This path, it's not for the comfort of your flesh. He says, so if you really want to follow me, there is a price to it. There is a cost to it. All right? So the first side of the cross that we see is a side that gives us freedom and liberation. And when we think about that, the real purpose of his living, we celebrate that. We rejoice that, wow, freedom is here. Victory and grace is here. Praise the Lord. But there is the other side of the cross. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. Amen? All right? He saved others, he said, but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross, and we will believe him. How many of you believe that he could have come down from the cross? No, how many of you believe that he could have come down from the cross? But why didn't he? To save us. He made a choice. The Bible says that who, for the joy that was set before him, he endured this. And that's what he's saying. What are you enduring for Christ? Many of us can't even tolerate our neighbors. What do you endure for Christ? What do you endure for Christ? I said many of us, neighbors. When I say neighbors, you may think your neighbor where you live. No, you don't. No, that one you can endure because you can stay in your own. Many of you can't even tolerate yourself in church. True of us. Many of us, I'm talking too fast. Many of us cannot even tolerate ourselves in church. If you want to read the book, read Corinthians, read Ephesians, look at Paul's charge to the church. They were always fighting. They were always fighting. Amen. Christianity is not easy. And Christianity is not for the faint-hearted. He said, he who set his hand on the plow and look back is not fit. So which gospel are you reading? What cross are you carrying? Look, at the end of the day, it is not those who acted like Christians he wants to reckon with. It is those who picked up their cross daily and took those baby steps, carrying their cross. Let me tell you something. One baby step with a cross on your shoulder is better than 1,000 years in the church acting out. One baby step. You heard what that man said? Who was it that said, was preaching on Sunday? He said, I'm just a baby in the Lord. And, I can't remember. Yeah? What? Where is he? Is he in church today? Okay. Yeah. Now, one baby step with a cross on your shoulder. You know, I don't know anything about Christ. I'm just trying to do my bit, you know. I'm still learning. I'm still struggling with this faith here, but I'm trying. And God sees your heart and see the sacrifices you are making to become like him. One baby step with a cross on your shoulder is better than rolling out scriptures, acting like that man was acting. On the cross, they put him on the cross, said, Eli, Eli. After the cross, he said, oh dear, can I have a singing, please? Give me tequila on the rocks. 20,000 people watching the man who was acting. Don't be an actor. Carry your little cross and take your little step. Deny yourself and pay your little price. It is more honorable to pay your little price, your little carry your little cross, than to... I mean, where I come from, everybody is born again. Our cars. Jesus is Lord. The year of victory. The year my mother-in-law will die. The year my father-in-law will die. Everything. This is the year. All the witches, my father, everything. The car. When you see the car coming. But in my country, the nation I come from, the nation of Amidala, they are as corrupt as it comes. This is the nation where they carry in the entire treasury, put in a hole and sit on it. And they will put a sign, but Jesus is Lord. The Christianity is one inch deep, 1 million miles wide. Only in my nation, Amidala, where I come from. There is church on every street, but without change. It is the cross you carry that brings a change, not the verses you rehearsed. What did I say? It is the cross you carry that brings a change, not the verses you rehearsed. Anybody can go to drama school. Amen. Are you a drama king? But that guy is a drama king. 18 years, so good, nobody can replace him. But he said, I wish I can behave like him. Church, let's try and behave like Jesus. The other side of the cross is where we deny ourselves, carry our cross, and follow him. There are no experts in the kingdom. What did I say? But God sees the man who carries his cross. Amen? Your cross is different from my cross. All right? But let's look at the areas where God expects us to make changes. Amen? Let's look at the man Jesus tonight. Praise the Lord. All right? So, something about him you must understand is, number one, that he suffered for the benefits of others. These are the crosses that you should carry. To suffer for the benefit of others. Isaiah chapter 53. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. But you see, on one side of the cross, Jesus died for us. He took our infirmities and took our punishment. But Jesus also expects you to do what? to suffer for others. In other words, this Christianity is not a self-consuming one. No. God expects to do things, bear things for the sake of others. On one side of that cross is a promise to you. On the other side of that cross is your responsibility. You pick up that same cross, the same cross that made him deny himself, right, and responded to the voice of the Father, he expects you to also deny yourself and respond to others. Amen? Praise the Lord. The second thing I want you to understand tonight is that Jesus suffered because of his own people. He suffered because of his own people. He suffered because of his own people. This is the other side of the cross. God wants us to suffer because of other people. If you suffer because of others, right, it is part of the cross you should carry. Amen? It is part of the cross. He suffered for what? Why? For what? Because of his own people. Look at scripture. John 18:35. Am I a Jew? Pilate replied, your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. Look at that. Am I a Jew? Pilate replied, it was your people and your chief priests who handed you over to me. What is it you have done? Why do they hate you so much? This is Christianity. Amen? See, your own people. Your own people. And then many of us, our friends lie against us. We say we are going to die. He says, your own people. He said, I am not a Jew. That is, those who should take your side are those who delivered you. He said, what have you done? Amen? You pick up this cross. You should understand this. If they've done it to the master, it can be done to you on the face of this earth. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Number three, Jesus was betrayed by his own disciple. I know you know this one. In other words, it tells you that on this journey, those who are closest to you can betray you. Don't die about it. Carry your cross. Remember what he said? And follow him. It's not enough for you to deny the faith because somebody who is close to you did betray you. That's why I said, if you want to follow, he said, you must what? Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. This is one of the cross you carry. He was betrayed by one of his very own what? Disciple. And he expects you to, if you ever experience this, you consider, you pick up your cross, you deny yourself, and then you follow him. That is Christianity. That's Christianity. He didn't say, take a gun and pursue the disciple or pursue your friend. He said, no. He said, if they take your coat, say, tell them you have a what? A waistcoat. If they take your waistcoat, tell them you have a vest inside as well. Christianity is about carrying a cross. Our flesh must die. Our spirit must be liberated. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Matthew 26:21. You understand that he came as a man, so he had feelings. And while they were eating, he said, truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me. Truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me. Truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me. One of you will betray me. So he was betrayed by one of his what? Disciples. How many of you have told someone a secret and then you hear the secret in the marketplace? Amen. Praise the Lord. There's a secret in the marketplace. So it's the same thing. So what do? You go into manic depression. Yeah. He said, this is the cross. So I deny myself. I pick up the cross. The grace and the anointing you will get from that will be more than... Praise the Lord. I want to share a personal experience with you tonight. Many years ago, something happened, right? I was aware of what happened, and the third party was aware of what happened. The third party went and took that secret out. So he came back and he looked that I was the one who let the secret out. So I had two choices. First, to say, come out and say, you know what? I'm not the one. I didn't say it. This is the person who said it, and this is the person told. But I thought about the scripture, and I kept a sealed lift, to protect that other person. Amen. And so, till today, only me and that person knows exactly what happened. But we have to learn to protect. Amen. Because one of my covenants is the covenant of protection, not of destruction. So I picked up that cross, I denied my own self, right, and protected that individual. Till today, that other person is angry at me. You see, this cross, this faith, is about carrying crosses. Are you listening? It's about carrying crosses. Number four, Jesus was plotted against by religious leaders. Matthew chapter 26, 3-5. Then the chief priest and the elders of the people assembled in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and they schemed to arrest Jesus secretly and killed him. But not during the festival, they said, or there may be a riot among the people. So it was the people in authority. How many of you have worked in a place where you work very hard, do very hard, but the person against your promotion is your boss? How many of you have experienced that before? The person against your promotion is your boss. Jesus says, you deny yourself, you pick up your cross, and follow him. Our faith is a faith of endurance. Our faith is a faith of endurance. It's not a faith of indulgence. You will never experience the fullness of God if you live a life of indulgence. You will never. The scripture says, I can't remember the scripture now. It says, you caused men to ride over our heads. It says, God caused men to ride. Go that verse if you can. Let me have it. He said, you caused men to ride over our head. Amen. Why? Because our faith is the faith of endurance, not of indulgence. But unfortunately, our generation is the generation of indulgence, not endurance. The moment we have to endure anything, we say, God is not in it. No, God is in it. Amen. You're just weak. Our faith is the faith of what? Indulgence. That is the reason. That is the reason why there are so many problems. Nobody wants to endure. Nobody wants to endure. Everybody wants to be indulged and not endure. Praise the Lord. Number five, the cross he wants to carry. Jesus was hated without a cause. There was no reason. There was no reason. So, if you are looking for the world to like you, forget it. He was hated for So we experience that as Christians. Just before, you know, 2 days ago, I was telling Pastor Bola, I said my heart is grieved. I feel so sad. This was 2 days ago, was it? It was 2 days ago. I said I really feel grieved. I said this insurgents attacking nations. I said I feel a sense of grief. I said I'm feeling this. I was in the shower. And I was saying, I said, I feel a sense of grief right now. I said, I feel sad. I don't know why. He said, what? Is it insurgents? They call them insurgents? I said, they attack nations and they kill people. I said, they make these nations unsafe. And I said, I feel so. And then today, was it today or yesterday? Kenya. Look at that. You know, as we started watching the TV, I said, this was exactly how I was feeling 2 days ago. How do you wake up in the morning, go to school, right? And then you get a phone call or what have they done? What have they done? It says he was hated without a cause. We're told that they got to the school, they separated the Christians from the Muslims, and they shot them. 147 people. Half of them, maybe most of them Christians. People will hate you for no reason. You know why? Because you carry the mark of the high calling of Christ upon you. What have those people done, those students in Kenya? Well, sometimes we'll not be able to relate to that because it's too far away. Maybe we don't have cousins there or aunties there or anything. But the fact is that, you know, here, even in the UK, people can hate you without a cause. Okay, so what do we do? Do we take up arms and then do another Christian crusade and carry knives and carry guns and say, you know what? Okay, let's take the battle to Somalia, all right? An eye for an eye. So the Bible says, you know, let's go. But we won't. We will today deny ourselves, weep, pick up our cross, follow him. John 15. If I had not done among them the works no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. As it is, they have sinned, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in their law. They hated me without reason. Number 6, Jesus suffered because of jealous people. These are the crosses called. You see, the fact that we are Christians does not mean that we will not experience these things. This is the other side of the cross. What are you going to do? Jesus said, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow him. Jesus suffered because of jealous people. Amen. Scripture, Mark 15, verse 10. Mark 15, verse 10. Tell me, if it happened to Jesus, it can happen to you. Mark 15, verse 10 says, knowing it was out of envy that the chief priest had handed Jesus over to him. Out of envy. He suffered in the hands of people, just pure out of envy. It is the cross, and yet he endured the cross. In spite of this, he endured it. And he went through all this in his humanity. In other words, he came to live like man, to show us how to live, and then replace us on the cross. Praise the Lord. Jesus faced intense emotional and mental agony. And he still followed through and endured the cross. Amen. So sometimes when you face so much pressure, it's not because God is against you. It's just one more cross to carry. And God will always come through for you as you carry that cross. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Do not indulge yourself. Do not indulge yourself. Endure. Endure. The Bible says that he who endures to the end, not he that indulges themselves to the end. He who endures to the end shall be what? Shall be saved. Shall be saved. Shall be saved. Luke 22, 44. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. And being in anguish, anguish of soul, being in anguish, intense emotional and mental agony. Praise the Lord. You see, there's nothing I dislike than when we see a Christian going through a challenge and we think, oh, God is not with that person. We think God is not with that person. God is with the happy clappy, bubbly, yeah, happy clappy, chappy, you know, rich individual. No. No. That's not the gospel. That's not the gospel at all. Often we see that. Luke 22, we read that scripture. And being in anguish, he prayed, verse 4, he prayed, 34, he prayed more earnestly. So the more anguish you face or experience, the more prayers. Amen? You should pray. You should endure. Paul told Timothy, he said, endure hardship like a good soldier. This faith is for endurance. It's not for indulgence. Many of us can't stand the heat of Christianity. You see, if you're an actor, it's always nice. You have your dressing room, you have your makeup artist. Well, you know, you have your makeup artist. They come, they give you, unless if you are like that man that you come back from your shooting, there's no food, you start throwing punches, you know? Yeah. But how can a whole big man like that be fighting because of food? I don't understand. You lose millions of dollars contract because, again, see what I'm saying? Because you cannot control yourself. Even the world expects to control yourself. Isn't it? Exactly. They don't applaud him. You can carry what you call that thing. You can get 1 million people to sign petition and say that because this person could not control it, it's allowed. We all, at the end of the day, we know what is right. And I'm so happy they sacked him. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because, oh, please. Yeah. I said, Lord, first of all, you punch a man. You political. What's it political? Political. Yeah. How you punch someone and then you come and protest against an establishment? Right? You control yourself. Amen? So, Jesus was deserted by everyone when he faced danger. The path of Christianity is a very lonely one. Because when your mate says, let's turn right, and you choose to go left, and you're the only one, and you're the only voice, right, it can be lonely. And that was the example that Jesus showed us. That was the cross he carried. The cross of the lonely. It was a very lonely road for him. The path of Christianity is not the path of democracy. What that means is that your opinion may not be popular, but may be right according to scriptures. And so which one would you prefer? To be popularly accepted but against faith, or to speak faith, to speak what is right in the Lord, but be... So he expects us to carry a very lonely cross. Praise the Lord. Mark 14, verse 50. Mark 14, verse 50. Then everyone deserted him and fled. Ask your neighbor, what will you do? What will you do? Eh? Can we read that together? One, two, go.
Everyone deserted him and fled.
What will you do? So, that's why as Christians, right, you want to invest so much in your spiritual life. Because a time will come, you may need to stand alone. The problem sometimes is that we want to carry our friends along. Yeah, and then we think about what people, say. We want everybody to be happy with us. We want everybody to be, we want to imagine that we want to be in the good books of everybody. That's not their faith. A time will come, you have to stand and stand alone. This is what I believe is right, and I choose to stand by it. Everyone, not some. This what? Deserted him. All right. Jesus suffered even though he was righteous and innocent. Luke 23. He was righteous and he was innocent. This is the faith, this is the cross handed to us. He was righteous, he was innocent. Verse 16. 23, yeah? He said, you brought me this man as one who was inciting the people to rebellion. I have examined him in your presence. I have examined him in your presence and have found no basis for your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. As you can see, he has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I will punish him and then release him. Amen. Righteous, no cause, no charge, but the people came and conspired against him. So, why am I sharing this with you? This is the other side of the cross. That we understand that the cross is never about happy clappy, I get everything I want, and so, do you understand what I'm saying? It's a place of endurance. It's a place of endurance. The cross tonight is a place of endurance. He came, he died for us. On one hand, he showed us the way to salvation. On the other hand, he showed us what we will expect, what we may experience on the face of this earth, and how to respond to it. How to respond to it. Amen. And lastly, he was treated like a criminal. He was treated like a criminal. Matthew 26, 55 and 56. He was treated like a criminal. In that hour, Jesus said to the crowd, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat in the temple courts teaching and you did not arrest me. But this has all taken place that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples deserted him and what? Okay, where I come from, I said they legged it. Amen. They fled. Why? Because his master, their master, was being treated like what? Like a criminal. Alright? So, Jesus faced so much accusations. So I want to submit to you tonight, the other side of the cross, that you should go through this message and pay attention. If it happened to Jesus, it may happen to you, and there's a way that Jesus wants to respond to it. How does Christ want to respond to it? He wants to do what? To So deny yourself, yeah? And do what? Take up your cross and do what? And follow him. You deny yourself, you pick up your cross, and then you follow him. You deny yourself, you pick up your cross, and follow him. You deny yourself, you pick up your cross, and follow him. And allow the cross do the work of Christ for you. Allow the cross do the work of Christ for you. Allow the cross do the work of Christ for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He died as a man. He came as a man. God on earth, living as a man, showing us what we may face and showing us how to handle the issues of life. He said, if any man wants to come after me, it's not a roadshow. It's not acting. If any man wants to come after me, he said, you have to deny yourself and pick up your cross and then follow me. Amen. Rise to your feet and let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, tonight. We bless your holy name. Lord, we give you all the glory. We adore you. Lord, today we submit to the cross. We thank you for the privilege to be introduced to the cross. We ask for your grace, O God, as we live as mortal men, as we live as humans on the face of this earth. Lord, we ask for your grace, the grace to consider, deny ourselves, pick up our crosses, and follow you. To live by your examples, Father. To deny ourselves, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, we present our humanity to you. We once again cover ourselves with your blood in the name of Jesus. We cover our families with your blood. We cover our career with your blood in the name of Jesus. Let even as we pick up our cross, let your blood speak for us in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.